Okay. Ladies, gentlemen, we've got part two, Emil Jurisic. 18 months ago, we recorded part one. Still one of my all-time favorites. Absolute beast. Let's kickstart it.
I hope you don't say this to everybody, you know. Or should I just feel special now?
just don't listen to my last 10 podcasts.
Okay, done, no, done, done. But, you had some absolutely amazing people on your podcast. So
thank you, man.
I'm always humbled to be on anybody's podcast, you know, for anybody to when anybody asks me, do you want to be on my podcast, you know, if I have time, I always, you know, feel grateful that, you know, for anybody to ask you, they must think that, you know, you might offer something good, hopefully, to somebody on the other side. So I'm always grateful.
No, you know what? When we first had you on, that was when we were like, this podcast can go places.
Let's roll,
baby. So let's kick start it. We're not in your office today. Last time we recorded in your office.
Yes.
Where are we? There's just a bunch of supercars just hanging around. Where is this place?
I was living in a house literally 2 minutes from here, and I only had double garage. But I love cars. So I was like, man, you know, I want to buy more supercars, but I can't find them anywhere. I can't park them anywhere. So I ended up getting this warehouse. So I was like, perfect. I can literally park 6-7 supercars in it. And then I put a pool table, futsal, darts machine, and I got a proper commercial gym upstairs. And I started using it as my kind of playground where I can just have, you know, drink with my mates. But then One Life Club started growing, and I was like, man, I think we should put our One Life Club team in my warehouse. It's kind of a fun place for them as well. And, you know, nobody can say I hate supercars at the workplace. So now it's a workspace for One Life Club business that we have. And also I still park some of my supercars here.
Yeah. So, yeah. Mate, some special cars. We've got a one in 250 Aventador Ultimate behind us. It's insane, mate.
Yeah, that's a very special car. I spec'd it exactly how I want this car to look. It's always special. It's very humbling feeling for me because I started my journey, as you guys know, with absolutely nothing. I came to Australia as a refugee and to come to the point one day that I was in position to actually design and spec and pick all the colors on the car that I, you know, that I can buy at that moment was humbling and amazing experience. And 18 months later when car arrived, I was so excited. But this is a special one. There's only 250 of them in the world. And his last V12 naturally aspirated Lamborghini ever made. After this, they're going hybrid. So this is a special car, but I got a few.
Mate, with all these cars, the setup, the business's property, how's the mirror looking these days?
When I look at myself in the mirror, you know, I keep saying to people, all the answers in life are in the mirror, right? Because we can all bullshit as much as we want to everybody else in the world, but when you look at yourself in the mirror, you know, then you can really see who the fuck you are, you know. And I always say, as long as you can be true to yourself, and, you know, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you can ask yourself, you know what, am I a good person? You know, if you're doing wrong by other people, mirror will tell you, fucking asshole. Am I allowed to swear?
Yeah. Fucking
go fucking
and or, you know, if you ask the mirror, if you look at yourself in the mirror, am I doing well in my business? If you can really look at yourself in a mirror and not find other people in it and start blaming other people, then you can really see where you need to improve, or, you know, and, or if you're looking at a piece of shit, really. So with me, when I look at myself in the mirror, I'm pretty fucking happy these days because I'm living my life on my terms, and I know I'm a good person. I know I do a lot of good for others, and I know I'm where I wanted to be in my business career as well, not just as a obviously human. So mirror is looking good at the moment.
Mate, you were talking about how you know, you do a lot of good for other people, and mate, you can see it when you're taking your whole team overseas. Can you tell us a bit more about why you do it, what it's all about, and how it works?
When you reach certain point, you know, in your business. I mean, when you're starting your business, you know, you're kind of almost like a horse with the blinkers on. You're just looking at the stride, you know, you can't see much past the business that you are running and things that you're doing every day, and you're hustling, and it's not easy, and it's fucking hard, you're grinding. And you kind of forget, you know, sometimes what's really important in life and where you really get satisfaction. But when you reach a certain point in your business career, then, you know, I got 6 cars, you know, fucking I can drive whatever the fuck I want. I can drive a different car every day, and they're good cars. Business is on a great level. I'm making, you know, good money. I'm building an amazing home. So that's all satisfaction from you know, business point of view, because I love the hustle. I love building companies. But what truly makes me happy right now at this stage of my life, when I can do something good for others, you know, and seeing impact I can make on somebody else's life. That's like, oh, that makes me really happy, you know. Every year I take all my best real estate agents to different countries. This year we took a big number of amazing people to Europe, to Croatia. Last year we went to New York and Vegas, and next year we are taking them to Mykonos and Croatia again. But besides that, you know, the guys that I take there, you know, take to Europe or different countries, I want to say simply, hey, we have worked hard. I'm grateful that you guys are part of a company that I started, and you guys need to be rewarded. But at the same time, those guys that I'm taking, they all make over $1 million. They can afford it anyway. So, I am happy that I can do that for them, because they're giving me so much. But what really makes me happy, like 2 weeks ago, it'll be 2 weeks ago next Sunday, I raised $91,922 for Starlight Children's Foundation.
Yeah,
that makes me really happy, because we are changing, we are impacting 2,350 kids this Christmas. We're gonna make them smile. You know, children that are in hospitals, and some of them might not have, you know, healthy, I guess, future. Yeah. That makes me happy that I'm in position that I can say, hey, you know what? Did I post on social media? Guys, we're gonna raise $50,000 for six children. Let's do a cruise in supercars from Gold Coast to Brisbane. And we end up having about 40 supercars. Wow. That we had a nice drive, and we raised just under $92,000. That to me, it's an impact. And I think last year I raised, I think $70,000-$80,000, and we went and gave, I think 7 or 8 families that I need. We went and knocked on their door and gave them $10,000 cash each. That makes me, because there are people that are in need. And what the fuck is the point of living if we not gonna help somebody else on their journey? Now, helping somebody else doesn't mean you have to give somebody $1 million, $100,000. That could be you encouraging somebody who is having a bad day and encouraging them, you know what? Just focus one thing at a time, solve one problem at a time, and tomorrow is going to be a better day. Let's smile, you know. Or somebody that's crying, make them laugh. Or somebody that you can give $100, they might have massive impact in their life, so they can put food on the table. That's, to me, what life is all about. And I never wanted to die without leaving something for others. Not financially. I mean, everybody, a lot of people have ability to make money and give money. But, you know, I think that we all can change somebody's life for better. Either, you know, show them what we maybe, you know, are doing, so they can do it as well, so they can have a better life for their families, or help them, or say something nice. So that to me completes me at the moment. Or, for example, if I take my cars on a drive day and I see 100 little kids and they say, hey, sir, can we sit in your car? I open all the doors up and jump on the car if you want. If that makes you happy, just freaking jump on it, you know, because that might encourage them to do, you know, dream bigger and become better. And
would you say, because now you've got, you've validated yourself to an extent externally, the house, the cars, this, the that, do you think, is your why other people now completely?
Why changes as we get older, right? You know, when you're 15 years old, what's your why then? You know what I mean? When you're 15 years old or 18 years old, when you're 18, you probably, your why is to party as much as you freaking can and date as many ladies as you possibly can. As you get older, you reach point in your life where you really realize that you only have one life and life is short. Mm. You know, how old are you guys now?
28.
25.
28. So technically you're, you know, one quarter dead if you get to live to 100 years old. So just like, you know, 25% of your life is gone. So you got 75% left, 75% of the bottle. You know, more you drink it, you know, get to the bottom, and then just like life, you know, when you get to 80, 90, you're dead. I'm 44. I feel amazing right now. But the reality is, I know that I'm kind of halfway through my life journey if I get to live to 80 fucking eight, you know, and chances of that happening, who knows? Like, you know, my mate, and I think you guys know him as well, Tom Panos, he always says, the bullet that's going to kill you has already been fired because you don't know when you're going to freaking, you know, pass the fuck out. So to me, because I've truly realized that I only have one life, and I'm only a tourist on this journey called life, and life will pass by. So let's focus on actually being happy. Focus on enjoying every day. Focus on enjoying the journey. Focus on helping others. So my why is for myself as an individual to be happy every day. Every day, because today is the day that I never lived before. Once this day is over, I'm one day fucking closer to my ultimate destination, which is me being fucking dead, right? So that's really crucial. So with me is, you know, so what makes me happy, you know? And if it makes me happy to drive supercars, if I can afford it, I'll buy it. But if I really feel completed, which I do right now, to do good for others, to make somebody else's life better, because sometimes you saying something great to somebody can change their direction of life, can encourage them to do better things or to be more positive, whatever it is. So my vibe right now is few things. One, I like being happy every day. Two, I'm very passionate about changing other people's lives. And then there's a three. Third one is, I always say this to all my staff that are working for me. I ask them, let's say you have a wife and two kids, and I'm pretty sure you guys don't have wife and two kids, right? One day you will. But anybody that's got, let's say, husband or wife and few kids, I ask them this question. If you die today, will your family be okay tomorrow? Now, money is not fucking everything, right? But end of the day, if you have, for example, wife and two kids and you die today, and then tomorrow, you know, your partner is going to be, she might be stressed that she can't afford the mortgage. Kids, she has to pull them out of private schools, put them in a public school. Nothing wrong with that. I went to public school. She might not be able to give them money to eat every day. You know what I mean? They might have a rough upbringing. So with me, I always wanted to change direction of my surname financially as well. Because going back 600 years of my surname that started in 1500, we've looked at my surname back and goes back fucking 600 years. We've been always poor for 600 years. Always poor. And with me, I thought to myself, you know what, if I die 10 years ago, I'll be angry with myself because a lot of my family members, they'll be still, you know, struggling. But if I die today, they're all going to be looked after for generations of the family. Not that money is not everything, but my nephew and nieces, you know, I don't have kids. They can go to maybe better schools and, you know, mom and dad, you know, I've retired them so that they never have to work again. I retired a couple of years ago. Even dad still goes on construction sites every day now because he can't fucking help himself. But so I know that for a lot of my family members, if they want to go to university, I can pay for it. 2 years ago, for example, two of my uncles died. One of them died from COVID. And family wasn't in position to give them a proper burial. I sent money to do so. So that's my third. I wanted to be in financial position. If anything ever happens to me, people that are close to me, they don't have to stress the way I stressed when I was starting my journey.
Wow.
So there's a few different whys there for you.
Is kids on the cards for you at some point?
Look, I am... I've really dedicated my life to my journey. And a lot of people, they say, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. With me, I'm not entrepreneur 10%. I'm fucking all in. Mm. Because I'm so fucking driven like a crazy motherfucker, that's been solely my focus that, you know, it just didn't happen. Will I have kids? Do I want kids? This is something that you can't plan, you know. Or I'm not planning. If it happens, great. I'd be very grateful that God gave me that, you know, that I have beautiful kids. If I don't have it, I'm grateful again because I'm grateful. I'm breathing every day. I'm touch wood. I'm healthy and I have amazing family and I have good friends. And what more do I want out of life? Mm. And this is something that I always keep telling people. I keep, you know, seeing like, let's say, you know, a lot of ladies, they're hitting age of 35 and 40. You know what? I don't have a partner or man or I don't have kids. I better find somebody. I said, no, man, you have that if it feels right. If it doesn't, you can't force anything in your life because if you force it, you know, you won't be happy.
Yeah. What about when it comes to the hustle and forcing an outcome to make things happen?
Ah, interesting. I don't force anything. I just give it a fucking good crack and good go. Because if you're forcing anything that it's not naturally happening for you, you're not going to have a great outcome. Let's say me and you don't like each other. But let's force... I'm going to force myself to like you, even your dick.
You know what I mean? Specific cars.
Yeah, you're not a dick, but you know, if I have to, if we have to force and pretend and, you know, that's fucking, you know, with me is I'm forcing myself to be the best human that I can every day. And in business, I'm forcing myself to take things to another level every day because I'm enjoying that. And that to me is fun, you know, and everything I do these days in business, I have a mind of 5 years old. Because you remember when you were 5, 6, 7 years old and, you know, I used to go out in front of my house and play with my mates. We used to play soccer. And, you know, as soon as the school is finished, we get home at, you know, 3:15. And for 3, 4 hours, we're playing soccer. And when you're hanging out with your mates when you're 5 years old or 6 or 7, you got no worry in the world. You're just having fun, man. Mm. You know, and that's what I'm doing with business now. So I'm not forcing anything. Mm. You know, I don't force anybody to do business with me. If you don't think I can add any value in your life or in your business, I'm fucking out. Otherwise, what is the point?
Hmm. Mate, for the listeners, the guys and girls that don't know what One Life Club is, yes. Can you give us an understanding of what it is, what you guys operate, who's involved?
Well, obviously, as you know, One Life Club is a new platform. It's about 12 months old. All my life in business that I dedicated my huge part of life, or almost all my life towards it, I felt like I was on my own hustling, you know. I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have anybody to share the knowledge with me or encourage me to do better or help me. So one day, I always said, one day when I'm in position where I have time and results behind my back to create a platform where I can pass my knowledge to others so they don't have to struggle like I did on my journey, I'm going to do that. 12 months ago, I felt the time was right. And I never wanted to be that guy that takes a photo in front of somebody else's Lamborghini and saying, hey, this is how you're going to become a successful and doesn't have $2 in his bank account. With me, I wanted to have a results behind my back. So if I'm telling all the new generations that are trying to start their businesses, hey, you know, this is what worked for me. It actually worked for me. I have done it. So 12 months ago, myself started One Life Club, which is a platform, mentoring and networking platform. So we interview, just like you guys, so many amazing individuals where people can get inspired and motivated. Then we have classes where people can actually learn how to do something in that specific field that they're interested in. Then we have a live events. We had about 15 events this year alone.
Wow.
Including, you know, we had an Entrepreneur Summit throughout Australia and... we had Jordan Belford, and next week we got Ryan Serhan from Million Dollar Listing New York. And next year we got some amazing people that are coming, and we created a community where like-minded individuals are networking and hanging out, you know, pushing and motivating each other as well. And I got two amazing partners. One of them is Simon Bede, founder of Culture Kings, and second one is Chandra, amazing lady who started online education company that's valued over $1 billion. So three of us wanted to give back, created this platform, and now we are trying to provide great content for people that are willing to learn and people that are willing to give it a go. And whole meaning of one life is realizing, is letting everybody to realize, hey, fuck, you only have one life. Let's use it the best way you can. But we're also not a platform where we can say to any young individuals, hey, this is how you're going to get rich quick, because we don't know how to get rich quick. Mm-hmm. What we do with One Life Club, saying, hey, this is so many amazing people that can show you how they have done it. Mm. The bad news is it's probably going to take you 10, 20, 30 fucking years, but the good news is you will do it. Mm. You know, so that's what One Life Club is.
So you've obviously become quite close with Simon, the co-founder or founder of Culture Kings.
Yes.
What's the best piece of advice he's given you?
Good question. I am spending a lot of time with Simon. I think it's not the advice that he's giving me, it's what I have taken away from Simon, because I'm spending so much time with him and there's a million different advice that I got from him. When I'm around him, I really want to become a better person, because he's such a good human. There's no bad bone in that guy. Yeah. He's not an asshole. If he was, I would say to everybody, he's an asshole, but he's not. There is no bad bone in that human. Everything he's doing with love. So just being around individuals like that, what have I learned or advice that I've taken, it makes me want to become better human. Mm. And that's the best advice or best, that's the best thing we can do for somebody, really get them to become better people today.
Mm. Bringing it back to real estate, I don't think we've spoken once about real estate on this podcast so far. Mate, with your young agents that you're growing, because I can see online there's a lot of talent coming through the ranks, and there's a lot of young guys.
I was just looking at the list this morning. My accountant gave me a list of all my top agents, of every single agent that is working for our 10 offices, what they have written in commission. And I have so many amazing young guys. For example, I got Jason Yang. He's 24 years old. He's been in real estate industry for 3 years. In first 12 months of his real estate career, he was working with another office, and I think he did about $160,000. And then first 12 months within my office, he's done about 1.1 million.
Wow.
And his second year right now, his last 12 months, he's done about $2 million in GCI, 24 years old. Then I have Charlie Camoli. 3 years ago, he was working in McDonald's as 20 years old and came to NGU. First 6 months, he worked as a receptionist. Second 6 months, he worked as associate to another agent. First 12 months of selling real estate, he made $1 million in gross commission.
Wow.
Second year, this morning, his numbers are $1.75 million. Then I have Moses. He's been in first 12 months working with me in my office. He made $1 million GCI. This morning, I think he just announced on his page that he just did $2 million in GCI. Then I got Luke Athanatis, first 12 months of ever selling real estate now. I take it back, actually, first 9 months. He's on a bit over 500,000 GCI. Then I got Matt Hawken, who is now, and also going back to Charlie Camoli, he's also now principal of his own office within 3 years. And he's got an amazing team there. Then Matthew Hawken, who's number one real estate agent in Toowoomba. He's sitting on about $1.4 million in GCI, and he only joined us 2 years ago. And before that, he was on maybe 250 grand. So I can keep going with the names. I got Leo, who's standard killing at over $2 million in GCI. So I got so many agents. Dan, I'm from NG Springfield. He's about $1 million in his first 12 months in GCI. One thing is, I am trying to, you know how you got that show, X Factor or American Talent or whatever it is, you know, for musicians, and they're trying to recruit or interview people, or Voice, I think it's called Voice or whatever it is in Australia. They're trying to find the best. Mm. So with me, I'm just trying to find the young talent that simply have that fucking burning fire within them that want to do well. They want to do well. If they got no experience, you can learn everything if you're willing to learn, if you're willing to give it a go. If you have that never fucking give up attitude and that burning fire to conquer the world, then I can mold you into fucking a weapon.
Yeah.
But you can be talented and lazy, then that's a waste of fucking talent, right? So we are really heavily focused on how do we make a real estate agent a brand. Like a lot of other real estate companies, there's so many amazing real estate companies, but there's also a lot of other real estate company where they are making it just about real estate company. With me, I say fuck my brand or fuck any brand. How do we make you a fucking rock star? How do we make you in a brand? Most people that we build in a brand will stay with us long term. If some people decide to leave for whatever reason, we wish them best of luck and we move fucking on. So love bringing the best out of young individuals and training them. And
sounds and, awesome. Well, so I'm in a position at the moment where I'm starting to like grow the team and grow the agents within the offices that that I work at. Now, like we've got the brand that I'm at is amazing. So you can plaster your name as big as you want, all that sort of stuff.
Personal you have to branding. Say they're amazing. You're still working there.
I know.
Just kidding.
But they did, but their personal branding's off its head, right? Like they let us do whatever the fuck we want.
Which is important.
Yeah. Now, one of the things I struggle with trying to grow these agents is they just don't put in the work. Like you can, they've got all the skill set in the world, but they don't, they just don't have that fire, I guess. How do I inspire them to do better? How do you inspire your staff to do better?
There's a two answers I want to give you here. Anybody that wants to work with me, I always tell them, let me tell you this. If you want to work with me in my team, you should be really almost paying me to work here because I have the absolutely fucking best. So you are going to the best university in the world that's going to give you amazing life if you are willing to give it all. And I make it very clear to them, if you want to come to my business and work 5, 6, 7, 8 hours a day and plug along, don't fucking bother starting. Go to the next competitor. If you want to give it all and be like one of the fucking guys that I'm employing, this is your place. But I need you to really think about if this place is for you, because this is a playground, but we fucking play hard when it comes to work, right? We don't fuck around. If you wanna be the best that you can be and filthy fucking rich in your field, come to us. If that's not what you want, I understand. Everybody wants different things in their life and go elsewhere, because I only wanna have an A-grade people in my team. Now, the reality is most people want to have all the things that you're having and they want to make great money, but they don't want to put the work in. So if you do give them a chance, if in 5 days, if you don't see they are really giving it a go, tell them, see the door, get the fuck out because you haven't earned your fucking spot at my fucking dinner table. Get the fuck out. If somebody doesn't have that, if they're not trying, make it very clear, buddy. There's another 200 people that want your spot. I give opportunity to you. You either give it all or there's a door. But if you give it all, you'll be looked after. You're part of the crew now, you'll be fucking looked after. But if you're lazy fuck, you know, I don't want that, because that can impact if you have, let's say you have three people in your team and you add the fourth one. If he's a lazy or she's a lazy, it's going to impact everybody else in the team. So, yeah, hire fucking slow. Have a kind of get them to qualify. Ones that comes in, they don't perform, get the fuck out. Unfortunately, we are living in the world where everybody wants to be rich quick. When I was growing up, when I was 18 years old or 20 years old, only Lamborghini or Ferrari I can see was on fucking TV. Now they're all over social media and they're all over the place. You know what I mean? So people want to have money fast. They want to get rich fast instead of saying, you know, I'm a very close to amazing human, Josh Tesselin. And the other day I had room full of 10 brand new agents and I called Josh and I said, Josh, I got you a speaker. Give these guys one advice, you know. And one of the things that he said, guys, you have to be prepared to work your heart out and earn shit money for 3 years. And then maybe even 2 years after that. But then if you're willing to give it a go and learn as much as you can from your leader like yourself, then you're going to be fucking thriving. You're going to have a beautiful life. But if you're not willing to sacrifice time, you know, that you put in every single day, So my advice to you is, you know, be very cautious who you let in your crew. But when you do let them, monitor. 5 days, they perform and keep them. Another 2 weeks, they perform and keep them. They slack, have a one conversation with them. They don't listen, there's a door. Get the fuck out really fast so I can get somebody else to replace you. And I don't waste 2 minutes.
So say you found one that is hungry, that has that fight in them, but hasn't got the skill set yet.
You can learn that. But you got to be a good leader to teach them, right? You know, it's important. As long as the person that you find there, that he needs to learn, there's a process. He might do phone calls. He might be cold calling people for 6 months. He maybe has to give you 10 leads a week or convert five listings a month. They have to earn their stripes, you know, and by yourself, you have to be very good leader, training them and motivating them and inspiring them. Because reality is, if you're hiring somebody who's 20, there's a good chance that anybody that is 20, they don't know what the fuck they want to do in their life. That's just the reality. And we were probably all the same, right? And they maybe never had a good leader to inspire them and motivate them. It's your fucking job to do so. If you discover the talent, you have to invest in them. Because more you invest in them, more they're going to give you back. As long as, you know, specifically they're good humans as well.
Emil, you're the most followed agent in the country on social media. What's your social media strategy, specifically Instagram?
Actually, I got goosebumps when you asked me that question. Crazy. Or maybe I'm just cold. I tell you one thing. First of all, people say to me, how the fuck did you get 500,000 followers and how you get 100, 200, 300,000 people watch your videos? I said, first of all, social media is unbelievable vehicle to build a personal brand. And we are living in the world where personal brand is so important. I mean, think about, you know, who do you think is more followed? Apple or the CEO, what's his name? My God, my brain is blocked. Apple CEO.
Tim Cook.
Who do you think is more followed? Who do you think has got more followers on Instagram?
Probably the Apple. CEO.
Apple. I'd suspect Apple would have.
CEO. Yeah. More than Apple, which is unbelievable because Apple is a trillion-dollar company, right?
Yeah, it's mental.
It's mental. And if you look at all of the company's leaders around the world, whoever they are, you will see that humans have more followers. So my strategy for social media is, first of all, to tell everybody it's going to take time. I've been on Instagram for 10 years. Over 10 years, I got about 2,200 posts. I probably got zillion stories, you know, or videos. I probably got thousands of live broadcasts. So I am consistent, like there's no tomorrow. So one, it's going to take time. Two, you got to be consistent. And then you got to ask yourself, why is everybody on Instagram? The funny thing is, I can guarantee you, if you guys go on your mobile phones right now and check how much time you spend on Instagram, I can guarantee you, both of you, including this cameraman behind, that spend at least 1 to 3 hours a day on Instagram.
Yeah, 100%.
At least. And that's everybody else. So the thing is, first of all, you have to realize that everybody's on social media, including my mom. You know what I mean? Other day I was talking to my mate. He said, Emil, oh my God, I feel so embarrassed. I said, why? He said, I was being stupid on social media and my grandma saw me. She's like 80 years old.
Wow.
So everybody's on social media. Reason why is everybody, reason why you are and everybody else on social media, because we all want to be entertained. We want to, you know, kill time. Well, with me, I realized that. And if you want to be fucking entertained, let me entertain you. And how you entertain somebody is by being authentic. Because everybody makes everything look great. Everybody's so nice. Everybody's so polite. Everybody's only posting amazing fucking things in their life. You know what I mean? Nobody's gonna fucking post if they're struggling or if they have issues or whatever. So with me, I'm authentic. What comes in my mind, I'll fucking say it. You like it or not, that's your problem. And that's what people want to see these days. They want to see real people, man. They want to be either inspired or made laughed or whatever it is. And I make fun of myself, you know what I mean? I do all sorts of crazy shit that I know that will make people laugh or is going to encourage them to do better in their life, is going to motivate them, inspire them, or they might be looking at the properties because I put everything. But if you want to use it as a business, you got to be careful there because my social media 85 to 90% has got nothing to do with the business. I just fuck around, literally. Yeah. I'm authentic, whatever I'm doing, I'm sharing it with people. But then I also put stuff I wanna sell or promote. So that could be my real estate business, could be my property development company or media or One Life Club, whatever it is. But I'm not bombarding them with that all the time. Mm. Imagine if you're just a real estate agent and every single day they just see, you know, see your face trying to sell them something, you know, then your account won't be as engaged. But if you, you know, if you are, imagine, you know, you're getting up in the morning and you're about to take your briefcase and then you see your dog pissing on your briefcase. Like, guy behind the camera is laughing. Do you know what I mean? It's funny. He's going to say, oh, my God, can you believe that? Do you know what I mean? You know, or, you know, other day I was driving one of my cars and then I'm having a sausage roll and tomato sauce in it. And I'm rushing to a meeting. Actually, I was rushing to one of my agents here at an auction. And I'm going in a meeting and one of the cars is bumpy and tomato sauce all over my body and stuff like that. People are like, oh my God, that actually happened to me as well many times. You eat in the car too. And so that's the strategy, is be authentic, man. Be you. Show people who you are as a human. Don't try to be somebody else. You can never be me and I can never be you. We can never be him and he can never be him. You know, so be you, because everybody's got something amazing to offer to others. And that's my advice for social media, man. But you gotta be consistent. I'm on it every day. And you can really benefit, your business can benefit, because it costs you nothing. Costs you nothing. But if you think I'm gonna start an Instagram account and in 4 weeks time I got, you know, 100,000 followers, buddy, I've been on it for 10 years. Took me first 5 years to have 3,000 followers. Wow. You know, then it took me, you know, 12 months after that to maybe, oh, you know, I hit some amazing videos and stuff, then I went to 12,000. Then I remember when I hit 30,000. You can utilize it, but gotta be purely authentic.
Mate, how do you manage your time running, you know, several different businesses while also actually listing real estate?
I sell real estate for fun. because having, you know, my development company's got, you know, over $80 million worth of developments on a go right now that I own it myself alone, don't have investors or anybody else in it. A real estate company's, you know, we sell $2 billion worth of real estate a year. And I always said, I'm gonna sell real estate for 7-8 years because I wanted to lead by example. I wanted to lead by example. And I love it. I love the thrill of closing deals. So today, everything I'm doing right now, at this stage of my life, early stages of my life, I was doing everything, because when you're starting a business, you gotta be cleaner of your office, you gotta be a bookkeeper, even if you don't know what the fuck you're doing, you gotta be selling and branding and everything. But when you reach a certain point, which I've reached now, my skill is hiring, finding people that are more capable than I am in their field and let them run it. So I got somebody that is running my media company. I got somebody that is running our real estate offices. I got my brother that's running my property development company. You know, I'm a great capable lady, Gemma, that runs One Life Club. So I am there to find people that are passionate, that have the drive, that are capable, and I let them run it. So with me, I have now more free time than ever before, because now I'm kind of working from the sidelines. I've employed an amazing team of people that are running things and they're running it really well. And so I have time, even played golf this morning. But I'm also workaholic and I also still work till 9-10 every day because I'm so passionate about things that I do. So I wanna do more of it. And now, you know, we are starting our own bias agency in January. And I know that's gonna go fucking massive nationally fast. I'm starting it with a few amazing, amazing people.
Is it starting in Brisbane?
Starting in Brisbane and Gold Coast straight away. And probably be June in Sydney. So that's exciting. Then we got three real estate offices that will be opening between January and February and March. I'm just having fun.
Are you gonna keep NGU in Brisbane?
No. Next year, we're going national. Nice. You know, I grow as I feel it's the right time to grow. Like First 2 years, my real estate company is only 7 years old. First 2 years, I only had one office. Mm. Didn't want to have any more because I wanted to put strong footings in ground. So wanted to see what works, what doesn't before we start growing. And then we went, you know, 2 years onwards, we went from 2 to 5 and, you know, 2 to 7, 8. And then we put a post because COVID happened. That wasn't smart time to grow real estate business anyway. Now we're up to 10 and now things are stabilized when it comes to COVID being gone. And next year is going to be fucking, you know, we're going for what I would say, we're going hard. We're going for blood. We want to fucking grow.
Let's go.
We want to grow.
Let's fucking go.
Yeah, I'm excited. So we got some amazing people that we are in discussions with to go national as well. So, but you know, I grow things with no pressure. Mm. You know, if we find amazing people to work with, we open more offices in real estate business. We're not going to just open it just to have another signboard above the office and not do good things. You know, we want to have the office that fucking dominates. Mm. And if we find good humans that can work with us, yeah, let's go. But, you know, if somebody's a great agent, great leader, but asshole as a guy or girl, don't want to do work with you.
Mm. What would your best piece of advice be for young entrepreneurs or agents that are looking to start their own brand or business?
One thing I always say is going to be a long journey. Mm. Don't think it's a short game. You know, you're building a career out of real estate or business you want to create. Have a long-term vision and then break it down into goals in small pieces. Mm. So your vision could be 30 years or 50 years or 150 years. And how do you break it down? Mm. What are you trying to achieve realistically over the next 12 months? And then 2 years and 4 years and five, and then build a plan to actually get there. Stick to it. You got to work your heart out. So if you think you're going to achieve amazing things without sacrificing time, potentially with the family or having a life, what some people would say, so you have to be prepared to pay the price of giving it all, sacrificing time, going, you know, be prepared to manage your stress level, because in business, like you guys know, you know, everything that you guys are doing, it can get stressful. So you have to be able to be kind of bulletproof in your mind to go through hard times. Mm-hmm. Whatever you're facing every day, you know, if you have a stressful situation, which you will, you know, you have to be in a positive state of mind to keep solving the problems that are ahead of you one at a time and keep moving forward. Learn how not to be affected that you're going to be disappointed in people. Mm. Could be clients, could be friends, could be business partners, whatever it is. And just keep learning. Understand, this is a long game that is worth playing if that is what you want. Mm. There's no right or wrong if you should run your business or not. Not everybody's cut for running their own business. Mm. Some people are great as number two. Mm. You know, I have a great number two in my business. He's now, in the last 6 years, he's now developing property, I think number 8 or 9. You know what I mean? So he's my number two man, but he's doing so well. Tim Cook was the number, you know, two man, you know, besides Steve Jobs, and now he's taking obviously over. Mm. You know, you gotta do what makes you happy and then stick to it and give it all.
That's really good advice. What are your tips for people that are leaders that don't have someone to go to when it gets tough?
You know what? Another interesting thing that you just said. In business, you will hit the times where you will be alone.
Yeah.
There's nobody around you. Because when you're working for somebody, you can complain, you can ask, but sometimes in business, when the day is finished, you sit in that office, there's only 4 walls for you to talk to. Mm. 4 walls.
Yeah.
And whatever you ask, nobody's talking back. So you have to be strong-minded to be able to work through whatever you're working through. But very crucial, through entire journey, start of your journey and you know, halfway through your life journey and when you're doing really well, it's so crucial to surround yourself with amazing people. Mm. People, you're going to have a two group of friends, right, mm-hmm. in life. One, friends, they might not want the same thing like you. Mm-hmm. They might just want to have a 2-3 amazing kids, have a great job that pays them $80,000 a year, and they're really happy doing that. You know, great. You know, they're amazing people. You should be friends with them. But then you're going to have a fucking friends that are driven as fuck, that want to conquer the world. And that's why I love, you know, when I hang out with Simon. Last Friday, he called me, and this is a guy that sold half of his business for $300 million. Mm. Like, lives in a fucking $50 million house. Last Friday, he said, Emil, we gotta start this business together. He was like, Simon, what the fuck? You're calling me on Friday. Tomorrow, you got a massive housewarming party at your house. You got a few hundred people coming there. Just focus on that. He's so driven, and that is inspiring me to do better. You know what I mean? Mm. And he's constantly motivating me, encouraging me, sharing ideas. Oh, yeah, Simon, this works. Actually, this might not work. So you got to find like-minded people that are in your little, very little circle that if you do hit a bit of tough time, you can call a mate at nighttime or her on him and say, fuck, man, I had a rough day. How was your day? Hey, buddy, you know what? That wasn't a rough day. Mine was really fucked. And then he's making me feel better because his was really fucked, made me feel good about myself today. So it's just having a people in your circle that can, you know, make your day better if the day gets tough. Because days will get fucking tough.
Do you remember your toughest day?
Yeah. First of all, there's many tough days in my life. My toughest day. You know, now you're trying. I'm trying to now select fucking one out of 2,000.
What's the first one that came to mind that really impacted you hard?
Nothing impacts me bad way. Everything impacts me better because I learn from it and makes me really fucking tough, right? It's like if somebody punches in your face 10 times, either you get used to the punches or you're gonna fucking learn how to not get punched so many times again. Probably, are you talking about business or personal?
Both.
Personal, my toughest personal day was when I was very young, and my young brother and my mom, we were living in a war zone. And we knew that Dad was going away and into army, that we didn't know if we ever gonna see him again. That was probably personally really tough. And the happiest moment in my life, at the same time, while I was same age, 12 months later, or 9 months later, and we end up seeing my dad again. And I remember being in this freaking village that my mom and my little brother and I walked for 20 kilometers through mountains to get to the dad and walked between enemy lines. And there was this long fucking field. I can just see it. Long field, maybe 500 meters. And dad was running towards us and we were running towards him. And then, you know, my mom and my brother, I was at that time, I think maybe 13 years old, or 12 or 13. And my brother was 8 or 9, and I remember us running towards Dad, and all four of us were just crying from happiness. So that was the hardest and the fucking best day in my life. In business, the toughest day, is the one that you never had, I guess, you know what I mean? Because there's so many tough days that will come in your life. I don't really see it as a tough because there's so many tough days, you know. But with me, I'm probably now built mentally, I just deal with tough days. I just deal with them and go through them. Because I see tough day almost like a human. Who the fuck are you to make me have a tough day? Who the fuck do you think you are for you to make me have a tough day? Get the fuck out. Get out. I'm going to fucking go through you. I'm going to smash your head fucking first, and I'm going through you. So that's how I see. I don't let tough day beat me. Either the day beats you or you beat the fuck out of the day. So with me, you know, toughest day is like, get the fuck out. I'm beating you, whatever the fuck it is that I'm, you know, facing.
Do you think the upbringing that you had going, like dealing with the war and all that, do you think that made it really or easier for you when hard things happen in business and you have hard days? Do you think it makes it easier for you because you went through that?
I think we all have ability to keep learning and keep getting better at everything that we're dealing with. My tough bringing, even, you know, I lived for 4 years with no electricity, no clean water, no food and no education for 4 years when I needed it most. That's not any tougher from somebody who lived in Australia, who had bad parents, who were not giving him food on time, who were arguing all the time. You know what I mean? I was fucking hungry, but I had a loving parents. So would I rather be in a war and be a little bit hungry and maybe drink fucking dirty water, but having a loving family? Or would I rather be somewhere where life could be amazing, but parents are not having a great marriage, they're fighting all the time, and myself as a little kid, I'm being impacted. We all have a different level of toughness, and we all have a different way of how we get affected by what we are facing. So the way I see it is, so many of us maybe had a rough childhoods one way or the other, but the key is us as the little humans to take everything bad that happened to us as advantage so we can be better tomorrow. Unfortunately, not many people are living in the past and blaming the past, and instead of saying fuck you past, maybe my father and my mom, maybe they were bad parents, but you know what? I'm going to be a great fucking dad tomorrow if I have kids. So use it as your advantage, because I don't want to be that bad. I want to be this good. You know, so I think, you know, for anybody that has had a tough childhood, including myself, I had a tough conversation with myself. Fucking I had a tough past, but I'm going to fucking have an amazing future. Put past behind me. Learn from it. How I can be better tomorrow, but not blame the past for my present today and my future tomorrow. So anything that happened to me, I had choice as well. There's a lot of other people that went through the war and you know, blamed the war for the rest of their life. You know what, you know, I can't do well because I got affected by war. You know what, I can't start any good career, any business because I've been affected by my childhood, whatever your childhood was. So you have to be strong enough to really push yourself over that edge of thinking positive from now on and move forward.
Personal question for me. I know obviously the start of going from 0 to 1 mil and 1 to 2, there's going to be changes that happen and you have to break down what you're doing and obviously change some stuff. But to go from 2 to 3, are you doing many things different at 2 to 3 million? Is there many things you have to change?
I look, you got to be changing things every day. Yeah. Doesn't matter if you are worth 1 million, 2 or 100 million or 1 billion. It's all about how can you learn something better every day? And how can you do something better tomorrow than you did yesterday? Otherwise, what the fuck is the point of doing? Otherwise, you'll never grow, right? Mm. If you don't keep improving and getting better, the hardest thing is, there's a saying, the hardest thing to do is how to, you know, make first million. After that, it's easier. Of course, it's easier because you learned already so much on your journey. You hustled already so much. You probably fucked up already so much and see what works. And then you pushed and you reached that level. So the next level will be a little bit easier because you already know more. Mm. And the next level after that is going to be a lot easier because you already learned a lot more. It's all about learning and getting better all the time.
Do you have to work more?
It's not how many hours work, it's what you do with the hours that you work. I mean, you got people that are spending 15 hours in the office and 10 out of 15, they're fucking around. Doesn't mean they were in the office for 15 hours, they worked. How effective you are. And I think there was a study done that most humans are only effective 2 hours a day. Rest to be fucking around. You know what I mean? So how can you be effective for 10 hours a day? So all depends what you want. With me, I actually don't, I'm unemployed. You know, the reason why I say that, because I'm really heavy. I mean, look at me. I just rocked up here from another meeting and I'm in fucking shorts and what do you call these shoes?
Thongs.
You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm loving my work at the moment because I'm surrounded by fucking talented people. How can I not love life?
Yeah.
And it's not work, because if you see it as a work, then you feel like, I gotta go to work. To me, I can't wait till I wake up in the morning and let's have some fucking fun.
Let's fucking go.
I'd love to get your perspective on something, and it kind of ties into Kevin's question. This year I've had I've been fortunate to have success from leveraging investments, other people, things like the podcast network. Yes. What's been the best investment you've made leveraging outside of yourself to give you an ROI?
I think you have to be... What happened to you was an accident. You opened yourself to learning from great people. You opened yourself to networking. You opened yourself to leveraging, you know, because everybody in your shoes got the same opportunity, but people don't. You know, you might get a client, and let's say you got a really happy client. You know, if you're working, let's say, as a buyer's agent, and you got a client who was, you know, looking for a $2 million home, and you find him a $2 million home, you find him exactly what he's looking for, you know, it's worth $2 million, but he bought it for $1.7. He's so fucking happy. He's so over the moon. So you can leave it at that. He just bought it, and thanks, buddy. Good luck. Or, John, look, you wanted to spend $2 million. I find you a $2 million property for $1.7 million. How good is that, John? Amazing, Emil. Well, John, I think I've earned for you to come to my office tomorrow, and let's call 10 of your closest friends. Introduce me to them. I earned it. I just saved you $300,000, and if you can't spare me another 1 hour, you're not being a fucking fair to me, John. Make him laugh. John, I'm coming to your home 6 p.m. tomorrow. We're calling your maids. And if he's really that happy with your service, he will say, champ, come, let's call my maids. So that's you really trying to getting yourself out there. Because everybody's got opportunity to do that. Everybody can make that fucking call. Or leave it. So it's up to you how you want to leverage it and how you want to, you know what I mean? That goes for the seller. That goes for anything that we're doing, you know. So I think you're opening yourself to opportunities and possibilities. Do you know what I mean? And that is the fucking crucial part. Yeah. So, you know, what happened to you is not an accident. You're opening yourself to leveraging. Could be every interview. Could be people maybe seeing your face more through these interviews. Could be you getting great results. Just putting yourself out there. Simple. You got to put yourself out there.
Yeah. What do you think the biggest mistake young agents make? Not advice, but biggest mistake.
First, ego.
Oh.
Unbelievable. They make $2. They think they're fucking Bill Gates. Yeah. Keep your feet on ground, buddy. They might buy a $200 suit and think they look like a rock star and buy a fake Rolex watch. I'm a millionaire. Put your feet on ground. I think the biggest issue with any new real estate agents that they go and get a real estate certificate, get a real estate license, enthusiasm fucking skyrocket. Energy so high, big vision, big dreams, ego touching the fucking roof. Then they start first day in real estate. And guess what I tell them? There's a great news here and bad news. The great news is you got a job that you can do well in your life. The bad news is nobody knows you. Because even your mom and dad and your cousins and your friends, they're not going to give you business. Why? Because anybody that owns a house, they probably worked 20 fucking 5 years or 10 years so hard for it, and you think they're going to give you a house and you're so inexperienced? Fuck no. So that's the bad news, buddy. You're starting from the fucking bottom. And you got to keep your you're going to keep your feet there. Understand this is a long journey. And then how do you still keep your energy, enthusiasm high, knowing first day, okay, nobody's giving me business. What the fuck? Yeah, I got to call a million people for you to get somewhere. Do you know what I mean? So that's the biggest issue. I think they expect big things from day one. Just be fucking prepared. Keep your feet on ground. Keep prepared to hustle. 3 to 5 years or 2 years or 1 year in my office to get where you want to get, you know. And on the way of the journey, put your ego on side, buddy, because ego can cost you a lot of money, time. You can lose friends. And, I mean, people will see that you're a dickhead, you know what I mean, and you don't want that.
What's your best piece of advice for us with the podcast?
Interesting
Never
question.
Asked anyone this, by the way.
Oh, well, fucking always a first. You got to ask yourself this question, you two. Every person out there is almost doing a podcast. Why do you guys, why should you two stand out?
Because we're the only consistent interviewees of real estate agents in the country that output probably the best content on a daily basis across all social media.
Well, you already give yourself an answer. But now you're going to ask yourself, how can you monetize it? How can you monetize it? One, you know, one thing that you guys already, you are already consistent. You guys are consistent. You keep doing it again and again and again and again. You have interviewed me more than a year ago, wouldn't it?
Yeah, a year two and a half, yeah.
Almost 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And 2 years, you're still doing it. It's a long-term game. So you have to understand, it's probably going to take you 5 to 6 years. I was talking to the other day to the guy that interviewed me, Lee, what's his name? Oh my God, my Frank Lee.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Frankie.
Oh, yeah.
Frankie, he interviewed me. And I interviewed him the other day. He's got a podcast. He's been doing it already for 5, 6 years. And wow. The reality is, he's probably still not even making much money out of it. It's probably costing him more, including this. You guys had to fly here. You know, you probably had to pay this beautiful videographer behind the camera. You know what I mean? And, you know, take your time off your work, what you're doing. So it's costing you, right? But you guys are persistent like crazy. You're persistent. You're finding a great talent that you're interviewing. So one, it's going to take time. It's going to take time. But also, you're in a dangerous game because there's more and more and more podcasts happening all the time. More and more. And tomorrow, you might have another two guys that will start doing the same thing, start interviewing all the agents. They might even have a bigger social reach than you guys. How do you compete? How do you stay ahead? You know what I mean? So you constantly have to put yourself in position where, how can you be different? Okay, you know what? This month we just got another 20 competitors. Good news is 80% of them going to be gone in 3 months because everybody starts a podcast, they think they got 2 million YouTube followers the next day. It might take them a year, two, three, four, five. I think just being persistent, consistent, getting great content out there. I think one advice that I would give you, have more build up what's coming.
Okay.
I will send you one video that was done, not even by me, it was done by somebody else the other day. The build-up that they had was like, oh, fuck, I actually want to watch that podcast. You know, have that build-up a little bit what's coming, you know what I mean? And definitely collab with people and get them to reshare it so more of their people actually see it. Do you know what I mean?
We need a sick promo for this podcast. Yeah, man.
Yeah, maybe we'll just chase each other with two Lambos around the streets, get cops to chase us, and everybody will want to see what the fuck happened to those lunatics. You know, that's a sick promo for
you. Would be sick if we had each car mic'd up and we were doing a podcast while we're driving.
We can do that next time, man. Next time we can definitely do that. We got heaps of cars. That's no problem whatsoever. But you guys, I tell you, the not to blow sunshine up your asses, I don't do that to anybody, but you guys are actually good chaps. You guys are good guys. You're not doing it with just what's in for you. You actually want to give people value. You want to give your listeners value. And you guys are two good blokes, two good humans that are just creating amazing content. And I really hope that anybody that is listening to this or any podcast that you guys put out there, that they do keep resharing it, man, because, you know, that they keep listening and keep encouraging you guys to keep doing it again, because you guys are putting a lot of hours, a lot of times. I mean, you know, how many people did you interview last 3 days?
Oh, fuck, seven or something like that.
Seven, you know what I mean? And I can tell you this, I interview a lot of people myself, and it's really, you know, you got to be, you know, prepared, and you got to ask questions, and, you know, you got to be fresh, and it's a hard work, and it's not cheap exercise either, because for you guys to be here, like I said before, you know, you guys are from Sydney, to fly there, you had to stay somewhere in a hotel. You know, this needs to be, you know, all these cameras, everything costs money, these microphones cost money, you got to edit the things, you know, you got to promote it. So I really hope that you are getting support that you do deserve, because you guys are freaking giving it a good go.
Thank you.
And
man,
I hope fucking interview me again in 5 years.
Mate, I appreciate that a lot. Thank you.
No. On the fishing boat.
On my fishing boat. I've never done that. Fun. And the good thing about fishing boat, if you ask me any stupid questions, I'll just fucking throw you off the boat and get sharks to eat you guys. Then, in fact, you'll have to be nice to me there.
Mate, my last question for you. You can only pick one car. Which one do you keep?
The next one.
The Revolta?
I am a car guy. I'm very blessed that I'm in position to have few, and to have few favorites. You know, with me is whatever is my favorite for the day. I drive that car, and you know, two, 3 months ago, I was stuck driving for 2 months. I was just driving, you know, Mercedes C63. I really enjoyed it. Even I got Ferrari, Lamborghini, and Bentleys, and so on. In my garage, I got a lot of cars, but I really enjoy that car for the moment. But if I really had to keep one, I think this orange thing behind me is a pretty special donkey. That it's fun.
That's the one.
Yeah, probably. But then again, I'm enjoying the purple one.
It's like, fuck it. Too hard.
It is actually hard. All depends. Like some days, I just feel like driving different car. Like I really, you know, the last 6 weeks, I've been driving the STO, and I'm really, really, really enjoying it. But now I miss this one. I looked at it yesterday. I was like, oh, I wouldn't mind driving you a little bit. Which is very special feeling when you start from nothing to be able to say, I have earned this, I own it, I got no debt on it, paid off, I'm looking at it, the bank doesn't own it. And you know, every time I look at it, it's not just a car, because I worked really fucking hard to actually have this car and to be blessed that I was in position, that God gave me ability to do well in my field so I can afford what I would call living little child's dream, which I am at the moment. So, but that's not all the happiness in life. You know, car is just a little moments that you enjoy here and there.
Definitely.
Perfect. Well, mate, thank you so much for your time. My last question is, have you been back to Croatia and driven a supercar back through where you grew up?
Interesting question you asked me. I was there. I go there all the time. And I normally rent a car there. And 2 years ago, when I was there this year, and I was there last year, actually. And last year when I was there, I think I rented Mercedes S500, which is a really comfortable car. But I meant to rent... I think it was Ferrari F8. I meant to rent that Ferrari for 2 weeks, and but I didn't end up because I had some mom and dad that were coming and they were with me in the car. But next year, I'm actually sending one of my supercars to Europe. So when I'm there, a few of my friends actually did it this year. He's got to be on the boat for 2 months to get there. So I'm going to send one of my supercars, not so I can show off to people there, but it'll be actually really cool to drive it through Europe, and I want to drive my own car instead of rental. So this year I'm actually doing it. Next year I'm doing it.
Awesome. That's awesome. So. Thank you, Mil. We appreciate it, mate.
Very welcome, man.
Thank you.
Pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you, bro.